I have spent a couple weeks looking at what we're going to talk about this morning. Our subject is, what is free will? Let's look to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you acknowledging that you are our Father and that we are your children. We come to you this morning asking for your guidance, direction, from your Spirit, Lord, to handle these scriptures. Lord, when we look in the book of John, chapter 6, as Christ taught, He fed them and then He taught them, and the longer He taught them, the issues He dealt with, it said, and many that were with Him went away and walked no more with Him. Lord, as we look into these things, let us understand that we are the students, we are the children, and we need to be taught, and make us teachable, that we would submit to your word in all things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I'm not coming to you with a particular scripture, but I'm coming to you with a text that has bothered me for years, a topic that has been in my mind that I battle with and I listen to and I talk to men about. In fact, in the last week or two, I've talked to one of Dad's friends and I said, am I getting this right? Does this sound right to you? Does this sound biblical to you? This is a term that we hear so much of. We're in a day of soul winning. We're in a day that easy believism has swept America. And one of the big terms in this is free will. And this morning as I come, my question is, what is free will? And what is its relationship with God's will and God's sovereignty? We think of, what is a will? Well, we've heard of the term willpower. That's when your will determines to do something, and with willpower you get it accomplished. That's the kind of will we're talking about. We're not talking about a document. We're talking about our abilities to do things. The definition in the dictionary says, a will is a mental power manifested in wishing, choosing, desiring, or intending. Now, when you look in the Bible, as we look at the term will, means to determine, to choose, to prefer, or to intend. Now, do you think we have a will? I think we would all agree that we have a will. We have desires to do and perform certain things. My question is our will limited or free? Limited or free? What is free will? Well, free means to enjoy a personal freedom that you're not subject to the control or domination of another. Free meaning no limitations. Nothing or no one controlling me. I would be the master of my own domain, sovereign over my will. Does that describe you and I? Is that a good description of us, or do we have limitations? Does our will have boundaries? Or are we totally free? Did any of us wish or desire something that didn't come true? It's probably because we didn't wish it bad enough or want it bad enough. Or are there some things that are limited to us? When I think of the limitations of my will, there's physical limitations. My dad said, boy, he always wanted to be taller. The Bible says you can't add one cubit to your measure. You can't. I can't be taller just by wishing. I can't change my looks. I wish I wasn't so fair-skinned. I wish I could be out in the sun and tan and enjoy it like other people. But when they go to the beach, I just fry and peel and bubble. It's not in my nature. I have physical limitations. I have mental limitations. Is your IQ what you wish it would be? Are you amazed at the people on Jeopardy? How much they know about how many things? We have limits mentally. Some people have business sense. Some people don't. Some people have a mental ability to stick through projects, to see them through, and other people can't focus long enough. They're just scatterbrained and all over the place. We have physical limitations. We have mental limitations. We have monetary limitations. How many of you are as rich as you'd like to be? Or how many of you would like more resources at your hands? There are certain things in life I didn't get that I wanted. My mom always tells the story of when Dad was in seminary. I think she went there to do secretarial or something. That guys would walk up to women and say, "The Lord told me I should date you." And the women would say, "Well, that's funny because the Lord didn't tell me that." So they didn't get to date. Is there any jobs or positions you were looked over that you thought you should get? That you really thought you were the best candidate and it didn't happen? Is our will limited? Does everything in life that we plan and we will forego exactly as we thought it would? How many of you have looked at a calendar and planned a vacation for a certain time of year and a certain destination, set the money aside for the vacation, made your plans all around the vacation, and then something like COVID happened? I remember some people that were on vacation visiting relatives, and they got in the plane, and the plane started to head east up to New York, and all of a sudden it was grounded in Oklahoma. I said, "What happened?" "Well, 9/11 came. They grounded all the planes. We were in the air, and next thing you know, we were down. We didn't know how we were going to get home." Would we agree that we have a limited will? Now think about this. I heard this statement: man's will may devise a course of action and have no power to execute it. Now the Word of God is our final authority. Would you agree? So let's look and see what the Word of God says. Turn to Luke chapter 12. Verse 18, very, very popular. A story about a rich man that was very, very successful. Luke chapter 12, verse 18. "And this man said, 'This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" How did that work out? Not very good. Do you know how many I's and therefore will I do in those couple verses? Look at Luke chapter 23. Would you think Pilate was a big figure in those days? We all know who Pilate was. What would have happened if Pilate would have had his way? Look at Luke 23, verse 20. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus. Did Pilate get his will? No. Do you remember in the book of Esther? A great book of Esther. Do you remember Haman? Haman couldn't stand Mordecai. He hated him. Couldn't stand the sight of him. Hated him so bad, he built gallows to hang Mordecai. Remember the story? He built the gallows. He wanted to see Mordecai hung. He did everything in his power to get Mordecai hung. And you know what happened? Haman was hung in the exact same gallows that he built for someone else. In Daniel chapter 6, go out in the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 6. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Daniel chapter 6, verse 14. Remember the story of Daniel in the lion's den? Daniel chapter 6, verse 14 says, "Then the king, when he heard the words that Daniel was going to be thrown in the lion's den, was sore displeased." Now, this is the king himself. The king, when he heard the words of the judgment of Daniel, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. The king wanted to deliver Daniel from his punishment. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Now, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is this, that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed." The king himself didn't get what he wanted. He didn't have enough willpower and strength in his own kingdom. As we go through the scriptures, do you think there's tons of examples of the weaknesses of man's will? Now, what about our will versus God's will? Have you ever known two stubborn people? Have you ever known two stubborn people that get in an argument? Don't look at me. Don't look at one of my kids or my wife or someone. When two stubborn people get in an argument, who's going to win? We have some people raising their hands. When two wills meet with different opinions, who wins? So our will versus God's will, who would win that battle? Which one is free and which one is limited? Who has the reins and who controls the matters? You know what the scripture says? In Proverbs 16:9, it says, "A man's heart devises his ways, but the Lord directs his steps." You can have a plan in your mind, and God can change it just like this. Do you remember Jonah? He was not going to preach. Wasn't going to do it. He didn't care who told him. He didn't care who called him. He wasn't going to do it. The Lord directs our steps. Daniel 4. Do you remember Nebuchadnezzar and the great kingdom? The big tree. You know what Nebuchadnezzar said at the end of Daniel? chapter 4 and verse 35 about God. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and in the inhabitants of the earth. And there's none that can say to stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Whose will do you think is going to win between God's and ours? Turn to Genesis chapter 5, verse 50. Genesis chapter 50. This is where Joseph is reunited with his brothers. And his brothers are scared that Joseph is going to get revenge because he's been appointed first in command in Egypt. And they say, oh boy, he's certainly going to do something to us. We're in huge trouble. Here's what Joseph says to his brothers. But as for you, you thought, you willed, you determined evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass all that is this day to save much people alive. Who do you think will is stronger? Psalm 76 says, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. Do you see any wrath in this world? Do you know how it serves the purposes of God? I don't see it all. I don't get the big picture. I don't understand how that can work. Have your parents ever said, it's okay, Johnny. It'll be fine. It'll all work itself out. You'll be a better person for it in the end. What are they talking about? When you look in the paper today, do you understand how the wrath of God, the wrath of man is praising God? And then the second part of that verse, it says, and the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Do you know what's happening today? Exactly what should be happening. Do you know what's not happening today? The stuff that's not supposed to be happening. That's what that verse says. Do you know Christ is the Savior of life unto life and death unto death? My dad had an old saying. He says, you're not good for nothing. You serve as a bad example. You serve as a bad example. You know, the bad eggs are serving the purposes of God, showing the judgment of God. Do you understand? God's will is sovereign. God's will is free. And ours isn't. Ours is limited. We can see plainly our will is limited in the natural world with carnal tasks. We have trouble doing things that we should be able to do. Now, what about our will to perform spiritual things? How are we making out in that avenue? If we can't perform natural things, how do we perform spiritual things? Which is harder? Do you think our wills are limited in spiritual things? The Scripture will answer this, won't it? It's our final authority. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, "What man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him?" You know how you understand men? We look at a dog and say, "Well, that dumb dog, why would he do that?" Well, we don't have a nature of a dog. We don't have a nature of a cat. They stand there chasing their tail around in a circle. That looks so dumb. Well, all dogs do it. It must be their nature. How do we understand how man thinks? Because we're men. We have the nature of man. Even so, the things of God knoweth how many men? Some men. No men. It's impossible for you as a man to understand God but the Spirit of God being within you. That's the only insight you'll get into God is if God's will, God's heart, God's mind, God's Spirit works in you. Now we have received, speaking of believers, not the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. It's something we received that isn't of this world. It's of the Spirit of God. And look at verse 14. The natural man, the boy that was born at the hospital, who grew up in his home, receives not the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. If you're here this morning with an ounce of spiritual understanding, it's because you've received something that the world has not received. Jeremiah 13:23 says, "Can an Ethiopian change his skin?" Absolutely not. "Can a leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that were accustomed to doing evil." Turn over to Romans 8. I'm not going to verse 28 either. I'm backing up to verse 5. Romans 8, verse 5. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. But the carnal mind is at enmity, is an enemy of God. And it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. For they that are of the flesh cannot please God. They that are of the flesh cannot please God." Do you have a body of flesh? Do we ever think in the flesh? That cannot please God. The only thing that can please God is a Spirit of God that's been put in us. Do you know we are limited by our nature to perform our wills? We're limited by our nature. Now, we can do things we shouldn't do. We can do things that are wrong. But we're limited in our nature to do other things. I've seen pictures on TV of an 8 and 10-year-old driving their parents' car down a highway. A few years ago, they showed these young kids driving down a highway. How in the world did they know how to drive? How in the world did they... Well, they weren't 16. That's illegal. It didn't mean they couldn't perform the duty of driving a car, but But it was illegal at that age to do it. So they could do that, but it was illegal. But there are things that are so limited in my nature that I cannot do. You know what I can't do? I can't fly. How many of you would like to be able to fly? When I was a kid, I used to have dreams that I could fly. I would be on top of a building and I'd jump off and I'd just start flapping my arms and next thing I know, I was flying. Crazy dream. It was kind of fun. But it was weird because in my nature, I'm totally limited. I can't do that. I can't fly. You know what else I can't do? I can't live underwater. I can swim. I can go to the pool. I can go under and I can hold my breath and I can have a competition with my kids. Who can hold their breath longer? We can go under and we can hold our breath for 15 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute or two. I can try to swim to the other end of the pool without putting my head up, but I cannot live underwater because I have natural limitations. Do you know what the Bible says about your natural limitations as a human? You can't please God. You cannot please God. It says your natural nature is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So then they are in the flesh, cannot please God. It's impossible, fleshly and carnally, to please God. The Bible says we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It doesn't say we must worship Him in truth. We can be a Boy Scout and do deeds, but there must be a spirit of God within us to please Him. Yet today, in fundamental Arminian churches, they proclaim that God has given us a free will to choose. In fact, it's the great gift of God is the free will. I would say the great gift of God is faith. And it's a gift of God. I would like people to show me in the Scriptures where our free will is preached in the Scriptures. I'm looking for these verses. They say that fallen man, with his fallen nature, is able to choose with a free will that's not subject to his nature. Isn't our will subject to our nature? In fact, they go so far as to say, God has done all He can do. It is up to you. Putting your will ahead of God's will. We'll play another song. We'll beg a little more. Trying to twist your will. My Bible says, preach the word. Pray for the mercy and grace of God through His Holy Spirit to work in the minds and hearts of men. There is an illustration that I heard from one preacher that there was a preacher calling out to a guy in the back of the church and he said, "Would you surrender to God and let Him save you?" And the man said, "Preacher, is it up to me?" He says, "Yes, God won't save you against your will." The man said, "If God can't save me without my permission, then I wouldn't let Him send me to hell either without my permission." Is this thing about God? Or is this thing about our power? Our will does not leave God waiting. Yet the same preachers will say they pray for the Spirit to go before them, to move in the hearts of men, to change their will, to open their ears, to open their eyes. They pray that God may change the heart and minds and will of lost family members. Salvation is of God. Salvation is of God. You say, well, why is this important? Well, sometimes we should give credit where credit's due. We should give credit where credit's due. You know how many things I've started that I can't finish? Do you know how many things I've started that I can't finish? How many projects? How many ideas I've had that I can't follow through? Yet the Scripture says that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'd much rather have Him in control. That was Philippians 1:6. Being confident in this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Where does our goodness and hope come from? Turn to Matthew chapter 7. This was used in Sunday school this morning. Matthew 7, verse 17 says, "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." We've all heard this passage of Scripture, right? So how can you, being evil, do good things? How can it happen? Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruits good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruits corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit. Either make the tree good. Who's going to make the tree good? Can God make your tree good? Can God by His Spirit make you good to bring forth good fruits? You know what Ephesians 2:1 says? Turn to Ephesians 2:1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. "And you hath He quickened." Who's He? And who's you? The sinner and God. "Hath He quickened, hath He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin." "And you hath He quickened." Old Hubert Davis used to come up here to conference, and he said, "You know, I can go down to the funeral home and take a guy's favorite food and say, 'Hey, Joe, here's a banana. I know you like bananas.' He's dead. He can't move. He can't. He doesn't have the ability. Something needs to happen to him. You remember Lazarus? Remember the grave of Lazarus? He was dead. The life was out of him. He couldn't do anything. Did that stop the voice of God? Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. There is an act of God. Do you know the man with the withered hand? Have you ever went to physical therapy? Has anybody here ever went to physical therapy? Yeah, some people have. You have a problem and you go to physical therapy and they said, well, we're going to get that leg working again that you hurt. We're going to get that shoulder working again that you hurt. And they put you through exercise and they say, push this way and pull this way. Do you think that man with the withered hand tried to raise his hand before? Do you think that man with the withered hand tried to do something with that hand? Or he looked at it one day and says, oh, that's withered. That's not going to work. I might as well do everything with everything else. I'm sure he tried to get that hand. I'm sure he moved that shoulder. I'm sure he threw that shoulder forward. I'm sure he grabbed the other hand and tried to do it other things. He didn't have the ability. Did that limit Christ? He said, stretch forth thine hand. Just like brand new. How about that lady with the issue of blood? Said she spent all that she had. All that she had. Second Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, you know what they call them? Christians. That's a new man in Christ. If you're a Christian, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are come new. He is a new creature. There's something new in you that wasn't there before. There's something growing in you that isn't natural to you. Turn to Romans chapter 7. This is Paul. This is one of my favorite chapters. Paul battles with the flesh and the spirit. Romans 7 verse 18 says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, not the Spirit of God that was put in me, but I know that is when I look at myself, when I look at my abilities, when I look at my will, when I look at my desires in the flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform it, that which is good I find not. You know what he says later on? How does he get victory? How does he find strength? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ. In me, in my flesh, I want that, but I don't know how to get that. You know, I have kids who went to high school, and some are still in school. And some of them say, you know, I want that. I want this goal. I want that thing. Well, if you want that, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to go to college. And you're going to have to study for 4 years or 8 years or however long. And you're going to have to pass your grades. And you're going to have to get a diploma to practice that. In order to be in that profession, you need that diploma, okay? I want to be a carpenter, okay? Good, you're a carpenter. Nope. You have to go get some tools, and you have to be an apprentice, and you got to learn how to use those tools, and you got to do a good job if you're going to do that. You know what Paul says? When I look at myself, all I see is a mess. All I see is my flesh. And there's nothing good in it. I want to be that. I want to be what's pleasing to God. I want to do those things. The will is present with me, but how to do it, I can't do it. I can stir up my emotions. I can. You know, have you ever left church? Or have you ever left a meeting and you were so encouraged? He said, man, I'm ready to take on the world. And then by Tuesday, the world got the best of you. And you forgot about what was preached. And you forgot about what you read in your morning devotion. But then there's times that God, through His Holy Spirit, speaks to you. And gets you through your issues. And gets you through your problems. And it doesn't matter if it's the storm of the boat where Jesus can sleep. It doesn't matter whether it's the men in the prison where they can rejoice that they were found worthy to be prosecuted. It doesn't matter whether you're Joseph in a jail being falsely accused of rape. The Spirit of God was with him. God was with him. Paul's saying, you know what? When I look in my flesh, there's nothing good. I want to be that. I will to do that. I desire to be that. I desire to be light and hope and truth in this world. But how to perform it, I can't do. Until he gets later in his teaching and says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, who is my hope, who is my will, who is my spirit, that allows me to do those things that in my flesh I can't do. Turn to John 1. He came to his own, in verse 11, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to be sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Oh, okay, so if we receive him, he gives us the power. Well, keep reading. Verse 12, or verse 13, which were born, remember the new birth? Which were born. Something new happened. Not of blood. So it wasn't through your bloodline. Your dad is a Christian, your grandma's a Christian, you're a Christian. Nor of the will of man, or will of the flesh. Remember what Paul said? In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Nor of the will of man. You know what the will of man? That's Adam. But of God. Salvation is of the Lord. You remember Romans 9? Verse 15, he said unto Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. So it's not of him that wills, it's not of him that runs, but it is of God that showeth mercy. Now, some of these doctrines get confusing. I learned a lot of doctrines and I thought, well, is it my job to figure out whether I'm elect? No, it's not your job whatsoever. It's your job to figure out if you're a sinner and if your will is pleasing to God. Which if the Holy Spirit intervenes at all, you're going to find out you're not pleasing to God. And to cry out for mercy. Can we biblically back up our doctrine, our ideas, and use the Scripture to do it? You know, today we live in a day when many people have made God the God of love. Oh, my God's a God of love. He'd never punish anybody. He'd never send anybody to hell. That's not the God of the Bible. You can't show me that in the Bible. God is love. He said He is love. But He's also holy, just, and many other things. You have to use the Scriptures to show us if you're telling us the truth. You know what I know from the Scriptures? Without faith, it's really, really, really hard to please God. Is that what your Bible says? Without faith, it's pretty tough to please God. What does your Bible say? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know what else my Bible tells me? Faith is a gift of God. Well, you have to receive that gift. No. Faith is a gift of God, not of works. Why? Lest any man should boast. Faith is a gift of God, not of works. You know what the Lord's Prayer says? The Lord's Prayer says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. What's the next part? Thy will be done. Are we going to bow to God's will? Today we have preachers begging, pleading to the will of man. Not preaching and begging for the mercy of God. Are you at wit's end? I get there about every Tuesday and Thursday and Friday. You ever get frustrated? You ever get frustrated? You ever get help from your frustration? You ever get things put in perspective? You ever have a kid call you and say, Mom, what am I going to do? Dad, what am I going to do? You say, calm down. It'll be okay. You ever have a frustrating day and you don't know what to do and the Lord says, hey, relax, you're not Job. Relax, you have hope in Christ. Relax. It'll be okay. Does his desires, his personality, his thing ever overcome yours and calm you down? Did you know God is sovereign and we are responsible? So what was the point of this morning? My other question this morning is, whose will are we going to submit to? Are we going to submit to our wills and our desires? Or are we going to submit to God's will and His desires? Can we say like Jesus, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done"? Lord, as we come to you this morning, we are thankful for this day you've given us. We're thankful for your word, Lord. You know the intent. You know the purpose. You know the desire that I have bringing these words forth. And Lord, I ask that you would make it understandable and to the listeners, understandable to myself, understanding to all, Lord, that we should be seeking your will, not our will. We should give you the glory and the praise and the honor for all that you do. Lord, help us to humble ourselves as we come before you. Help us to seek you first. Help us to know that you care for us, you loved us. You sent your Son to die on the cross for us. Lord, be with us as we leave. Empower us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to put things in perspective. The things that so easily upset us in the news, in the activities, in the events of our life, and realize that your will is being done. And help us be submissive to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.